Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Senate Environment and Natural Resources Committee for Tuesday, April 21st. And first, we are going to open up with a public hearing. Then we have quite a few work sessions, but we have two senators that need to be elsewhere. So we will make sure that they get up first. We'll open up the public hearing on Senate Bill 634. And Beth, if you can provide us with an overview, please.
Committee members, Senate Bill 634 modifies priority of land for inclusion within an urban growth boundary to include land adjacent to UGB, zoned for exclusive farm use, and owned by the state of Oregon after being acquired from the federal government.
Okay. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee.
They'll be trickling in.
As they're coming in.
We're going to dock their pay.
We get paid. Oh, my wife.
Actually, yeah.
Well, I actually have one. Senator Chris Telfer, representing District 27, which is Deschutes County in Central Oregon. Last December, as I was winding up my term as a city councilor, I was also completing 3.5 years of working on the UGB growth expansion for the city of Bend, and we had run into a slight problem in that we had a piece of land, 640 acres, that we thought about bringing in. It makes good urban development sense, and as the map gets passed out, I'll point it out to you. But we were told by city staff at the time that this piece of land was a low man on the totem pole on the statutory priority list for land to be considered to be included into the UGB expansion. The bill before you, 634, attempts to move that up a little bit, although the bill as written by LC moved it up to top priority. I'm not opposed to bringing that down a little bit into second or third priority, but right now it's the bottom priority. So do you all have a map now?
We sure do.
The red crisscrossed area is a tract of land that is, as you can see, is to the east side of city limits of Bend. It is right across the street from current city limits. It is across the street from a junior high, large residential areas. The growth for Bend probably will go to the east as years go by and by and by. This is a little bit of an obstacle in the fact that it's zoned EFU. As you can see, most of the land around it is not EFU. It's not irrigated, never has been, never will be. Those of you that have visited my area probably would be familiar with sagebrush, rock, and dust, which is pretty much what makes up that tract of land. One other key point about this land, but is not the driving force on Senate Bill 634, is the fact that this land is also owned by the state. It's DSL land, the value of which is to go into the Common School Fund. And I think perhaps Senator Walker is going to be talking about that piece a little bit. But I wanted to give you the visual on the urban development of the city of Bend with that little red checkered spot being an obstacle to good urban planning and good expansion of the city. So with that, I'll either answer questions or turn it over to Senator Walker to address the Stevens Road tract, which is how that little red area is termed.
Okay. Senator Walker.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Vicki Walker, State Senator, District 7, and I just have a passion for the Common School Fund. Always have, since I've been chair of the Education Committee for two sessions, and now as co-chair of the Natural Resources Subcommittee, we are deep in the discussion of the Department of State Lands budget and make frequent references to the Common School Fund. In fact, if your cell phone goes off in my committee, which has been the practice now for 6 years, you'll have to make a contribution to the Common School Fund. And my co-chair recently violated that provision and made a contribution, albeit quite small, all. It was what the Common School Fund owed him, $6.12. So he decided that he would let them keep it. But let me
Walker,
just...
Walker, I did that once, and I will never do it again.
Oh,
I
yes, you tried to bribe me with chocolate.
Yes.
That's right. And I said, no, that won't work.
Got to go to the Common School Fund.
Madam Chair, when Senator Telfer came to me with his bill, I was ecstatic because this piece of property is one of our in-lieu pieces. And let me just give you a little history of the Common School Fund because the more people who know about it, the better. Starting in long ago history, in 1785, the United States began the General Land Ordinance of 1785, setting up a system of granting federally owned lands to the states and early townships, because we weren't states then, early townships for benefit for the public schools. The Northwest Ordinance of 1787 created territorial governments and then creating states thereafter. When states joined the Union, they received certain amounts of land. Now, it's not fair, but Oregon was one of the early states in terms of only getting two sections of land. We got section 16 and 36. Other states got four sections, states like Arizona and those that came later, and some even got way more than we did. So we kind of got gypped in that way. But what was incredible about this is that Oregon had fraud in its early history. Oh, my gosh, did we have fraud? And land speculators came in the late 1800s, and one in particular, land speculator Binger Herman, had temporarily withdrawn lands to be included in Oregon's Blue Mountain Reserves, and his motives were political. He allegedly held the land to bribe state senators, all convicted in earlier trials, in an effort to secure his election to the United States Senate. So we were having unscrupulous speculators, we were having fraudulent politicians, and everyone else trying to steal our Common School Fund land. Therefore, we only had several thousand acres left, but still, it was enough for Oregon to start its school system. Congress did not give us all of our land, however, and that's what the term in lieu lands means, because when they gave us the 16th and 36th section, those lands were either occupied or already claimed by someone else. And so Congress said, okay, we'll give you in lieu lands or lands instead of. Well, we never got those. So in 1968, the state of Oregon sued the federal government. It took a long time, Madam Chair, members of the committee. It was finally settled in 1991. And we were granted 5,202 acres. We're almost at the end of that allocation, getting the rest of those lands, and this Stevens Road tract was one of the prime pieces that we secured. And it's just sitting there gathering dust on the sagebrush and not bringing anything into the Common School Fund. I suspect that might be because it's state-owned property and other property may take priority. But Madam Chair and members of the committee, I would tell you that the more we can make for the Common School Fund, the less we have to take out of the general fund to support education in Oregon. Oregon is taking a new approach with the Stevens Road plan, master plan, because we've never been involved in a plan like this before. There are other states, however, who are quite involved in that. I had my staff prepare a report for me in 2005. Arizona has Desert Ridge, a 5,400-acre planned community in North Phoenix. They also have a resort on their border that brings in significant sums of money. This is a public-private partnership. This is private developers developing the land, the state retaining some ownership in it, selling land to build houses, affordable housing. Also, renewable energy projects are planned for this land, Madam Chair and members of the committee, but we can't do a thing until it's brought into the urban growth boundary. And Senator Telfer appeared to me like a fairy godmother and said, I have a bill for you, and we can do it. Well, I don't know that we can do it. We're working very closely with the Department of Land Conservation and Development to make sure that we can amend the bill so we don't bring in unintended consequences and unintended land and waterways that sort of are kind of open to the bill. We have met with Secretary of State Brown, who is as anxious to bring this in as well, and we've met with Department of State Lands, and we're hoping that we can just push through an amendment down to LC today and have this back for you. We're hoping it can be done at the local level, But if it can't, Madam Chair, I just don't feel like waiting because it could take a long, long time for this property to come into the UGB. And this is really pretty critical for our needs. And it meets the needs of the community. As Senator Telfer would tell you, there is a need for low-income housing, affordable housing in this community. There is a need for open space and all these other things that this provides. So that's why this bill's here for you. It's not a, yeah, it's just a sweet little deal for one senator from a particular area of the district. It's a sweet little deal for all of Oregon and for all of the school children, and I'm just trying to find ways that this common school fund can be productive rather than relying so much on the Elliott State Forest for timber harvest, which I'm happy to do, but on the same token, timber revenues are down, harvest dollars are not coming out of the Elliott the way that we expected because the timber prices are down. So we just have to find better ways to maximize the assets in the Common School Fund. The Department of State Lands, the State Land Board has developed an asset management plan, and it discusses how to maximize the assets under that plan, and this is one of those assets. So, Madam Chair, I would indulge you and the committee to allow us to continue to try to get an amendment that satisfies everyone, and we can bring this bill back.
Okay, great. Are there any questions?
I just have one comment, Madam Chair.
Yeah. Senator Boquist.
I completely support the bill, but I would just put on the record that the Canadian government is still undercutting the price of timber, and we are importing lumber into Oregon and Washington, not exporting.
Okay, thank you for that comment. Senator Atkinson.
Thank you. What would the proposed amendment do?
The proposed amendment does two things. One is right now the current bill has this EFU land moved to first priority.
Yeah.
We're not asking for it to be first priority, which is the reserve. We're asking it to be below that, but above fourth priority where it is now. Secondly, it would tighten up the definition of lands that were given to the state of Oregon by the federal government, because some of that land that has been given or we've acquired from the federal government are rivers and things of that nature that we don't necessarily want to include in this bill. So we're just working with the department as far as getting some wording such that we don't have unintended consequences as far as defining land that we're not intending to define.
And Madam Chair and Senator Atkinson, what this bill does is just sort of nudge the City Council into considering this piece of land as a higher priority to bring into the UGB so that we can develop it. There is another piece in Redmond of this significant size as well that I believe will have a master plan community, and these are all places in need of these kinds of communities that have affordable housing and shops and schools and all of the things you would find in a community.
And Chair Dingfelder, if I may, one closing comment is that we're not looking to increase the acreage that's being considered for UGB expansion. We're just asking for land that actually, when you look at this, makes good urban planning sense. There's a sewer line coming straight down the road right in front of the Stevens Track land. So the infrastructure that's being developed is right there at that piece of property. So there's a lot of good parts and reasons for good urban planning to include this type of land over others.
Any other questions?
No, I'd like to talk to you about this bill when we're out of the committee.
I guess, Senator Telfer, I just have, since you recently served,
yeah,
6 years on
6 years
in the city of Bend City Council, could you maybe enlighten us a little bit about the discussions on this track? Because, you know, I look at this map and I look at the master plan and the fact that it is adjacent to services, and I guess, you know, from a city council looking from a smart growth and good planning sense, it does seem fairly obvious to be brought into the UGB. So if maybe you can enlighten us a little bit on that decision-making process, might be helpful.
Chair Dingfelder, I'd be happy to. I'm not sure you have enough time to hear about the political maneuvering that went on. You can imagine in a city that was one of the fastest-growing areas of the state of Oregon with property values skyrocketing every day, if not by the minute, everybody wanted to be in. And so there was a lot of maneuvering. I think as a counselor, the council was instructed by city staff that this was EFU land at the bottom of the list, and it didn't qualify for consideration over all these other lands that we were told had a higher priority and were defensible when the map was sent to the state.
That's helpful.
And then lastly, I did offer to council as one of my parting comments to council as I was leaving, I said I would be happy to present a bill to the state to see if there was a way to get consideration for this piece of land higher up on the priority list. That's why I'm here.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies. Any other questions? All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
We'll see if you, you'll be talking to the staff about amendment.
We will be talking to your Cracker Jack staff, Ms. Herzog. Yes, Madam Chair. She's very good at what she does, and she'll be right on it.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I'll see you in a couple hours at the budget hearing.
Yes. Thank you. My chariot of weights downstairs.
And I am going to call up somebody, but is there anybody else that would like to testify on Senate Bill 634 before I call up the department? Okay. Bob, you want to come up? Because nobody else signed up, but I certainly would like to hear from the department. Sorry, we're competing with OSU Day out there. It's a pretty tough competition.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, I'm Bob Rindy with the Department of Land Conservation and Development. And as you just heard, I have met with the sponsors, and we've spent quite a bit of time discussing some of the things that led up to this and where the senators would like to go. So what I've turned in here is comments on the original bill. Some of them are simply technical, and then there's a couple of other ones. At this point, I don't have any comments on how the amended version might, if there is one, how that might look. We have noted here that, first of all, and this is probably inadvertent, but by the way the bill described this first priority of land, it probably takes in a lot of other state-owned land acquired from the federal government, a whole lot of land, but we don't know that number and where those parcels are. And so that's just a drafting glitch, perhaps. We do know that by having the first priority divided into a sub-A and a sub-B, and it's not even and or between them, so I'm not sure what that means, but I think it does create a bit of something that's going to be debated for a long time amongst cities as to whether one of those trumps the other. So we've raised those with the sponsors. But I think it is important to realize that the effect of doing this is going to be something that we would have to live with going forward, and that is that state land that's zoned EFU for farming would have higher priority than private land zoned EFU for farming. In fact, state land that might even be very high-value farmland would have a higher priority than privately owned farmland. And I hope there's some way to try and help the senators. I know the issues that they're trying to deal with on this, but this method does create a little bit of tension, or maybe a lot of tension, going forward as we will continue to hear questions about why this farmland, because it's owned by the state, is higher priority than this farmland, which might be privately owned and maybe better farmland. And so I don't know how to best deal with those. I've met a couple times now with Senator Telfer, and we'll keep talking, I hope, on this. We, as a department, will ultimately receive, and we may have, I think, as I understand it, was sent on Friday, but we were going to receive the Bend UGB amendment. And LCDC probably ultimately will make a decision on that. So it's really premature for me to have to say much about whether the city did make some mistakes in the way they applied the law. We sent letters to the city throughout the process. We had a field rep working with them. And we have raised concerns with the way the city selected land for its UGB amendment. But at this point, now that they are done, ultimately it's in our court to do an evaluation, which could take a while since we just got it. So with that, I'll stop, and I'll be happy to answer questions.
All right, thank you. Questions?
Yes.
Senator Boquist and Senator Atkinson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Bob, just a rough estimate. Obviously, I know without even stating that Oregon doesn't own any commercial farming operations. So how much of the higher quality farmland do you perceive the state leases to farmers and it's actually in production? I think you understand what I'm driving at.
Madam Chair, Senator Boquist, I think I do, but I'm sorry, I don't have those numbers. As I start off with my letter, I couldn't think of any way to get this number certainly quickly, and with all the other bills we're dealing with, it may be that Division of State Lands can come up with that number, but we certainly don't have it.
Hold on, Madam Chair. Just for the track, I mean, my point is the state isn't in the farming business, so it might be higher value farmland, but if we're not farming it,
right,
it's not much better than the rocks and the sagebrush that she has out in her district now.
And I know the Department of State Lands is here, so they're probably taking notes to see if we can, through some GIS analysis, I don't know if you can look at soils and come up with, you know, some hierarchy or something that tells us. Certainly we should be able to tell if we have leases on those lands. So.
Madam Chair, yes, and what I've also pointed out, though, is I think the way this wording is, and maybe that can be fixed, but state land isn't just land that's leased for farming or isn't. It's land below the bed and banks of, it's streams, rivers, ODOT land, probably parkland, and maybe a lot of other land.
I definitely agree with the sponsors of the bill that would have to be narrowed. I think we heard that as well. Senator Atkinson?
You said this would take a while to go through their UGB requests. What's a while?
Madam Chair, Senator Atkinson, I don't know exactly. When I first met with Senator Walker and Dingfelder, I asked whether we had received this at all. I understand the city of Bend adopted it in January, and as of last Friday, or I guess it was Thursday, we hadn't received it. Now, I did hear recently that the city apparently has sent it to us, so we haven't even seen it yet. Once we do, I would suspect it's going to be anywhere from 6 months to a year for that process because of appeals. This is one of those UGBs, and you just heard some of this. I think every property owner is lawyered up, and if the department looks at it and decides that it's good and we approve it and nobody appeals, it can go very fast, and sometimes that happens with UGB amendments. I wouldn't predict that's what's going to happen with this one.
Thank you. Any other questions for the department? Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you very much. Anybody else that would like to testify in this bill? Okay. With that, we'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 634. And Senator Telfer, we will look forward to amendments if they are forthcoming. And committee members, we have now a series of work sessions. You are going to get out of here early, but unfortunately we'll be paying for it later in the week and next week because we are behind in paperwork for several bills. We will be carrying over Senate Bill 763 because we don't have the paperwork on that, and Senate Bill 528 because we don't have the paperwork on that. Yes, and you should have received the amendments from Beth already. We are trying to email those out as promptly as possible. The dash 2s on Senate Bill 763 and the dash 5 and 7s on Senate Bill 528. If for some reason you haven't received those, make sure and contact Beth. She'll make sure she gets that to you. So with that, we're going to go pretty much down the list. Let's see. Well, actually, we're going to start with Senate Bill 566 because we have some folks here who I know have to leave as well. So I'm going to open up a work session on Senate Bill 566. Beth, if you can refresh us on that.
For this bill on March 31st, Senate Bill 566, for the record, has no fiscal impact and no revenue impact. The original bill requires Metropolitan Service District to treat non-contiguous areas created by the urban growth boundaries as discrete subregions. You have a dash 1 amendment before you that specifies that when a district includes land designated as urban reserve within an urban growth boundary, the district does not have to consider the capability classification system or the cubic foot site class of the land prescribed that the Act take effect on December 1st.
Okay. And we have a couple of folks that are going to come up and talk about the dash ones, and we also had heard the dash twos. We have Randy Tucker from Metro. And did you?
Senator Starr, if he's around.
Okay.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Randy Tucker. I'm the Legislative Affairs Manager for Metro. You heard this bill a few weeks ago, and I had hoped that Jack Isselman from the City of Hillsborough would be able to be here with me to... We're in agreement on what ought to happen here today, but Jack has a sick kid and had to go back, and Senator Starr was potentially going to come and also indicate agreement. At any rate, I'll tell you what I think ought to happen, which is I hope you will pass the Dash 1 amendment to Senate Bill 566. This is the amendment that addresses a glitch, essentially, that we should have caught when we passed Senate Bill 1011 last session, the Urban and Rural Reserves legislation, and the intent is to ensure that the successful completion of the Urban and Rural Reserves process, designation process, is going on up in the Portland region right now. So Dick Benner, who's sitting back here, testified to you about this amendment a few weeks ago. You also heard about a Dash 2 amendment, and that's the one that Senator Starr brought forward, having to do with sub-regional analysis of the urban growth boundary. And we've agreed, and this is the part that can be confirmed by others if they arrive, we've agreed with the City of Hillsborough and the other interests that appeared before you that day to engage in a larger conversation about that topic after the session. It's a big policy question that involves a lot of players in the region as opposed to the Dash 1s, which are much more of a technical type of a fix. So, and if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Okay, we're waiting to see if Senator Starr...
He's in the hearing room, so we can go grab him.
Okay, we're going to try to... Okay. Senator Starr wanted to say a few words on this, but in the meantime, we'll see if there's any questions for Randy. I apologize. I thought that Jack Isselman was going to be here, so that's why we need to go early.
Right.
And
he was going to have to leave early, but okay. He had to leave even earlier.
So any questions for Randy?
I'll just note that at this point, I think there's not disagreement about moving forward with the Dash 1s only. So, and I'll let Senator Starr speak to that if he has any comments.
Well, we will...
Recess this.
Yeah, we'll recess. Actually, what I think I'll do is I'll go ahead and recess this work session, and then if he comes, we'll open it back up, and we'll move on to the next one. So with this, I will recess Senate Bill 566 work session. I'll go ahead and open up a work session on Senate Bill 190. Gary Lynch from Dogami is here.
Madam Chair, I have testimony. I don't know if it's appropriate to do during a work session. Just on the Dash 1s.
No. If you want to hand it in, but if you can just summarize it,
yeah,
I think that would be best. If you have, do you have written testimony? You can
yes.
Go ahead and hand it in. I think that's fine for the record.
Just also for the record, Madam Chair, on the Dash 1 amendments that's before the committee and also in the back of the room, there was a fiscal statement issued and a no revenue impact. We also received letters of support from industry. That's in your packet.
Okay, but there is a subsequent referral to Ways and Means on this,
yes,
correct?
Okay.
Okay. So why don't you, it's been a while since we've heard this bill, so I think it would be good if you can refresh the committee's memory about it.
Senator Dingfelder, members of the committee, for the record, my name's Gary Lynch, and I'm the Assistant Director of the Oregon Department of Geology and Mineral Industries. We came to the, it's right around St. Patrick's Day, I think, that we came with this bill. And at the time, there was confusion amongst the permit, the agencies and the industry about what permits were needed. With the help of Doug Woodcock from WRD and Christine Svetkovich from DQ, the industry, and Bob Houston from Dogami, we put together the permit process and how it will work and how the agencies will work in the to streamline that process so there are not bureaucratic hang-ups. Everybody has signed on with their full endorsement. There is a sticker shock in terms of the fee increases to this bill, but currently the fees are $250. They haven't been changed in 25 years or more. And in a program that is totally fee-based, we had to get it up there so we could do cost reimbursement. The industry supports that. Clearly, the geothermal resource is a valuable one in Oregon. In the age of green industry or green energy, this can be a very important development in Oregon. It's not without concern in terms of its ability to affect groundwater and the environment. But that said, everybody's working together. We have a bill that we think works, and that is endorsed by everybody. I'm happy to answer any questions or to expand more on what we're doing with this. We've certainly changed. We had laws that were very, very old and hadn't had any development since 1995 even proposed, and that was minimum. In January, we got 17 permits alone. So clearly we were out of date. This brings us into the 21st century, and all are supportive of it.
Okay, Gary, and my understanding is that these dash ones do reflect the concerns that industry raised that we heard during the public hearing first time. You've met with them, and I've read through the draft and just want to confirm.
Yeah, Chair Dingfelder, I talked with them both yesterday and today, and they wanted me to pass on one, that they were disappointed they couldn't come testify in support of the bill, but they're developing the resource, and that they're in full support of the bill and the fee increase.
Okay. All right, any questions? Okay, so I will accept a motion on this bill, Mr. Vice Chair.
I would move that we adopt the Dash 1 amendments dated the 14th of April.
Okay. Senator Atkinson moves to adopt the Dash 1 amendments dated April 14th, 2009. Is there any discussion? Okay, any objections? Seeing none, the amendment is adopted.
I would move the bill as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference for Dugami.
Okay. Senator Atkinson moves Senate Bill 190 as amended with the dash ones to the floor with due pass recommendation, and it be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Is there any discussion? Senator Boquist?
Thank you, Madam. Just one comment. It is pretty much a new fee process, and though we're not supporting new programs, this is a case where it's self-supporting and we're developing a resource. So I think it's a pretty good idea, and I'll support it going two ways and means.
Great. Thank you, Senator. And just a clarification on your SMS, it should read under fiscal statement issued, not...
Sorry.
Yeah, there's a typo. That's why I was confused when she said this. So it should be issued instead of impact.
It's an impact.
So it is an impact. So you could say impact issued. So there you go. But just to clarify. So any other discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
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 Yes.
Aye. With that, the motion carries, and this is referred down to Ways and Means, so we don't need a carrier. And so... we are in recess. I will open up the work session once again on Senate Bill 566. Thank you, Senator Starr. We're trying to stall a little bit.
No, thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity. For the record, I'm Bruce Starr. I'm State Senator from District 15 in Washington County, here to testify in support of the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 566. As you are aware, we are under this long-term process of finding peace in our time between urban and rural uses of land, prime good land, and particularly in Washington County, it's important. And this Dash 1 amendment basically is a technical fix to that process. It's important, needs to happen. The Dash 2 amendments are the issue that I brought to you in your public hearing. We have commitments from Metro and the local governments in the Metro area to work together to deal with this in the interim. We will hopefully come to either the session next year or in the regular session in 2011 with a fix to that. So appreciate you moving the bill with the Dash 1 amendments. It's an important one, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, great. Are there any questions for the senator? And hang out for a minute, because I was going to ask you if you would like to carry it.
Certainly. Okay. I would love to.
Okay.
Good idea.
Okay. So with that, I will accept a motion.
Madam Chair, I'd move the dash ones.
Okay. Senator Atkinson moves to adopt the dash one amendments dated March 23rd, 2009. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, the amendments are adopted.
Madam Chair, I'd move Senate Bill 560 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation that Senator Starr carry the bill and work in the phrase Dugami to his floor.
We'll see if he's up for the challenge. Okay, Senator Atkinson moves Senate Bill 566 as amended with the dash ones to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
Madam Chair, I do want to make sure, I mean, everybody said it, but I do want to make sure that discussion about subregionals does take place offline, and that we be ready to address it next session if for some reason that falls by the wayside.
Well, I appreciate you bringing that up. I think that by having the discussion on the Dash 2s, that has facilitated the discussion between the communities and Metro, and I have assurances that that will happen, and we will ask them, Senator, to come back and do a report during the interim on that progress, if you think that would be helpful. Okay. With that, the clerk will call the roll, please.
Senator
Holquist? Yes.
Senator Holquist?
Aye.
Senator Hatch?
Aye. Yes.
Aye. That the motion carries, and Senator Starr will carry the bill. Okay, next up, we are going to open up a work session on Senate Bill 664. Beth, if you can provide us with an overview.
Senate Bill 664, there's a minimal fiscal impact and no revenue impact on this bill. The Dash 1 amendment that you have in front of you is the one that we heard testimony on, replaces the text of the bill. It authorizes the expansion of pilot projects allowing temporary transfer of water rights to an additional 12 irrigation districts, which would bring the total to 15. Requires the Water Resource Department report to the 78th Legislative Assembly and extends the sunset for the pilot project to June 30th, 2016.
Okay, so nothing has changed on the Dash 1 since we heard them last. I don't know if anybody has any questions.
Nope.
I can call somebody up if you do. If not, I will take a motion because we are in work session.
Move the Dash 1s.
Okay, Senator Atkinson moves to adopt the Dash 1 amendment dated April 7th, 2009. Is there any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, the amendments are adopted.
I'd move Senate Bill 664 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Okay, Senator Atkinson moves Senate Bill 664 as amended with the Dash 1s to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? I'd just like to make a comment that I appreciate the proponents of the bill came to me. I had some concerns, and they were very willing to work on the amendments with the parties that had raised concerns. So I certainly appreciate that. And that's the Dash 1 amendments that you see before you. And seeing no other discussion, it wasn't a discussion hand raising. I thought you wanted to talk about irrigation districts. Clerk will call the roll.
Senator
Bowman. Yes, ma'am.
Senator Bowman.
Aye.
Senator
Hatch. Aye. Yes.
Aye. With that, the motion carries. And Senator Boquist, would you be so kind to carry the bill?
Delighted, madam.
Thank you. Okay, we're moving right along here. I think we're going to set a record. Okay, with that, I will close the work session for Senate Bill 664. And next, we're going to open up a work session on Senate Bill 942.
Madam Chair and committee members, Senate Bill 942, you have we heard on the 14th. In front of you, you have a Dash 2 amendment, which replaces the measure. Requires the University of Oregon, in consultation with the Oregon State University Extension Services, to implement the Oregon Climate Corps. Requires the Corps consists of trained volunteers to help Oregon residents, businesses, and other entities increase their understanding of climate change, reduce greenhouse gas emissions, and address climate challenges that face Oregon. Requires that University of Oregon, in consultation with OSU Extension Services, develop a long-term plan to fund the Corps, establishes the Oregon Climate Corps Fund that will continually be appropriated to the University of Oregon.
Okay, so this had a prior, did this have a prior referral?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
And there is a fiscal statement was issued on this that you should have in your packets there.
And so the fiscal now with the amendment?
With the amendment, the fiscal statement, the Department of Higher Education indicates that development and implementation of the Oregon Climate Corps will be accomplished within existing other funds or federal funds.
Okay. And I'm going to ask, Joel, do you want to come up and talk about the amendment? Do you have it in front of you? You have it memorized probably, right? I know since Senator Verger couldn't be here, Joel works for Senator Verger. So do you want to just let us know what the amendment does from the original bill, the Dash 2s?
Chair Dingfelder, members of the committee, my name is Joel Fisher. I work for Senator Verger. Teddy Kaiser, a co-worker of mine, has been working most on this bill, so I couldn't lay out the particulars of the amendment other than to say that it creates the program in the way that it should have been drafted as this program has evolved from the beginning. So I can't speak real specifically to the Dash 2s and the changes that it makes to the original bill other than to say that it does what we hadn't been intending to do in the first place. I think that there's general consensus that this is a good program amongst most people. I think that the political factors of it are also great, and that there's obvious urban support for it for environmental reasons, and that there is rural support for it because it gets urban legislators to support the extension services.
Okay. And my reading of this is, which I do anyway, my reading of this is under the original Section 1, Sub 4A, there was a fee that was going to be paid to the department, and that has been taken out of the Dash 2s.
Yeah, we're leaving that open to be funded through federal funds and other funds.
Okay. All right. Any questions? All right. I will. Thank you, Joel.
Thank
you. During a work session, I will accept the motion.
Move the Dash 2s, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Senator Atkinson moves to adopt the Dash 2s, dated April 20th, 2009. Is there any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, the amendments are adopted.
Madam Chair, I'd move the bill as amended to the floor. The due pass recommendation, the request, the subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means be rescinded.
Okay. Senator Atkinson, thank you for making that motion. He moves Senate Bill 942 as amended with the Dash 2s to the floor with a due pass recommendation and request that the subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means be rescinded. Any discussion? Okay. Clerk will call the roll, please.
No.
Aye.
Order me.
Aye.
Vice Chair
Atkinson?
Yes.
Chair Dinkfelder? Aye. And with that, the motion carries, and we were hoping that Senator Verger would be willing to carry that to the floor. Okay. Thank you. We'll close the work session on Senate Bill 942, and we'll open up our last work session for the day, Senate Bill 676.
Welcome if you got it.
I love this bill.
Madam Chair and committee members, Senate Bill 676, there, for the record, there's a no revenue impact, and there was a fiscal statement issued on the bill. In front of you, you have the Dash 2 Amendment, which changes the definition of industrial hemp to all non-seed parts and varieties of the cannabis sativa plant that contain a crop-wide average that does not exceed 0.3% on a dry weight basis of tetrahydrocannabinol, maybe? Establishes permit application requirements and a three-year non-transferable permit link. Directs department to implement the program only to the extent practicable with no additional cost to the department.
Okay. Senator Przanski, since this is your bill, would you like to say anything in the Dash 2s or have anybody come up and speak to them?
I don't know if anyone wants to speak. Department's here. I don't know if they wanted to say anything or not. I can put on the record that the intent on this is to basically get the framework in place for the program. As we all heard the testimony during this bill on the public hearing, there is still an obstacle with the federal government, DEQ, or DEA, needing to basically move forward to allow states to reintroduce the production of industrial hemp, which previously was legal to do throughout the country. And so there's no intent for the Department of Ag to take any steps at this point in implementing the program, and that's what's reflected within the agency's fiscal impact statement that they submitted and the understanding I have with the director and my discussions with LFO as well.
Okay. Department, would you like to come up, Katie, and say anything? Or okay. Okay, with that, I'll accept a motion since we're in work session.
Move the Dash 2s.
Okay, Senator Atkinson moves the Dash 2s into Senate Bill 76. Those Dash 2s are dated April 17, 2009. Any discussion? Okay, seeing none. Any objections? Seeing none, the motion carries.
Madam Chair, I'd move the bill as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation, that bill being Senate Bill 676.
Okay, Senator Atkinson moves Senate Bill 676 as amended with the Dash 2s to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
Yes, ma'am.
Senator Boquist.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd just like to declare a conflict of interest because I'd like part of the first quota when this is approved for some of my desert waterland. So
noted for the record. Any other conflicts of interest or anything else
I'm
for discussion?
I'm looking forward to the staff support from Senator Przanski when it comes to explaining this particular measure.
I'm sure he will be happy to do that. Okay, seeing no other discussion, clerk will call the roll, please.
Aye.
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 Giddy up. Yes.
Aye. With that, motion passes, and I will, or I should say the bill is adopted. I will ask Senator Prezonsky and Senator Nelson to co-carry it.
Yes.
If you'd be so kind. With that, I will close the work session on Senate Bill 676. I think we have a record for our committee. However, as I mentioned before, be prepared. I anticipate that we will be going late on Thursday and possibly on Tuesday, as it is the last time we'll be working Senate bills.
All right. Madam Chair, just to let you know, I may need to step out for a meeting in Ways and Means at 5, but I'll come back.
On Thursday? Okay.
This with and the co-chairs at their request.
Okay. Well, my intent is to try to do the work sessions first, so if people do have to leave early during public session, certainly I want to try to keep as many folks as possible, but if you have other engagements, I understand. With that, thank you for your time today.
Oh, wait. Before we close, I think one thing I didn't get clear was on the bills that you carried over, which is Senate Bill 736
and 528.
And 528. Did you set that for Thursday or for?
We said they're going to be carried over.
So that would be one day.
Yes.
Okay.
And if the paperwork isn't ready, then we'll carry it over to the next.
I just want to make sure it's on the record.
Yep. So that will close the Senate Committee on Environment and Natural Resources.